There are three big benefits that people are going to receive from the Down 40 Love podcast. Number one, you're going to be inspired. These conversations with great people like American film producer Hawk Koch are like positivity pills that give you the energy to go out and crush your goals. Number two, you're going to build resilience. Down 40 Love is a tennis metaphor for turning adversity into competitive advantage. On the podcast, we share stories, strategies, and actionable steps so that you not only stay in the game, but you elevate your game to the next level. And three, you're going to get better. Listen, there's nothing worse than wasted potential. As a leader, you already know that. And it's also your greatest fear. By listening to Down 40 Love and applying the lessons to what's going on in your life, you'll become a master at turning setbacks into bounce backs and much, much more. Are you ready? Let's go. Alex Hodgkin is a professional EOS implementer, entrepreneur in residence at the Chicago Booth School of Business, and co-founder and CEO who helps leaders become best-in-class business athletes through the implementation of systems that bring clarity, accountability, and alignment to their organizations and teams. Alex, welcome to Down 40 Love.
Nice to be here, Renee.
How and why did you become an entrepreneur? What's your story?
Yeah, it's a great question. So early in my career, I worked in what's called middle market investment banking. And that's a place where intermediaries represent business owners in the sale of their businesses. And I got to know those business owners in developing their marketing materials and helping take them to market. And they all have these crazy, like, hero's journey stories of, you know, the company nearly collapsed at this point in time, or like we lost our top employee or whatever it is, these, you know, these troughs of disillusionment. And it just really resonated with me, this journey, this process of transformation through entrepreneurship, and it was just in my DNA. So from that role, I transitioned into a bootstrapped entrepreneurial situation and kind of kept going from there.
Yeah. What does a business athlete look like?
So it's a great question. My favorite anecdote about good business athletes is they characterize themselves as learn-it-alls, not know-it-alls. And I think that's the coolest, you know, where they have confidence in their ability to synthesize information, to manage their stress, to allocate their time and their energy appropriately. And they kind of just open themselves up to the world and say, hey, listen, like, I'm here as a process of improvement and I'm ready to get to work.
What have you found have been some of the biggest obstacles that entrepreneurs face?
Yeah, sure. There's a number of them. Hard conversations, approaching hard conversations in an open, honest, authentic, and vulnerable way. Maintaining emotional regulation through those. Stress management is a huge one. So just, you know, balancing all the various different factors that have to be balanced. Keeping an abundance mindset. And then appropriately allocating your time, your energy, and your capital are all kind of huge challenges, I think. They are.
What went into your development as a CEO and an entrepreneur in terms of your skill set and ability to help, you know, these guys and gals that are on this incredible journey?
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of the folks that I've admired the most have approached it the way that I mentioned, and they have these fantastic long-term visions, and they're willing to get to work and execute on those. And it's kind of that process. Give me that question one more time. I got a little bit off track.
How have you developed your skill set, you know, as an entrepreneur and a CEO and a founder in a way where you bring value to your clients today?
Sure. Okay. So I did it myself, in other words. So what I was just characterizing as far as, you know, biting off more you can chew, but having confidence in yourself to be able to move through it in a transformational and growth-oriented way. And I really, for me, I like to choose mentors that have been there, done that a little bit, and have progressed on in different ways. But I think there's an important aspect to have been in the seat that you're then advising on. So for instance, you're a tennis coach. I'm sure you play tennis. So you can empathize with your players because you've been in their situations, and that makes you ultimately a better tennis coach. And so that's how I'm able to engage with my clients and implementing this management or operating system in their businesses is I did it myself, right?
What do you do specifically for your clients? How do you help them get to the next level?
You bet. Great question. So I do use this system called EOS. It's got a number of components around it. It's highly systematized. What we do is we are implementers of the system because it just works so well. But what I can do is I can provide to them the system and say, listen, here's a system you should use. I used it. I can speak with confidence that it will instill organizational health in your enterprise and help you grow in a healthy way. But I can also add color and anecdotes and support you in your intuition around how you drive this into the culture of the organization as I've done it myself. So let me give you some confidence and sit behind you as you implement it with someone that's been there, done that. Does that make sense?
Absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you've learned from mentors, you know, that have helped you along on your journey. Who would some of those mentors be?
Sure. So one of my favorite mentors is the person I directly report to at Chicago Booth. He's a professor, Steve Kaplan. He is the professor of entrepreneurship and private equity. And he's a phenomenal teacher, mentor, coach. And he's also an entrepreneur himself. I mean, he started with Alan Rudnick, the Entrepreneurship Center at Booth, the Polsky Center. And so he has a remarkable ability to cast vision and find the right people and then align them in the right direction. And I'm constantly, you know, inspired by him and just the way he's architected his life and the joy that he extracts from doing the things that he does. Another I'd say mentor of mine was my high school wrestling coach. I was a wrestler, and he was a phenomenal human being, very, very tough man. And he was, you know, some people would say he was hard on his kids, you know. He made us put the work in every day in, day out, you know, was a man of few words. But that being said, when you got to know him, you know, his joy was derived from being a coach and leading boys through the process of becoming men. And he derived great pride and pleasure from that process. And he coached for 40 years and was named in the U.S. Wrestling Coaching Hall of Fame. So a phenomenal human being, looking back, a transformational person in my life, for sure.
Now, I love that, and thanks for sharing, Alex. Sure. I mean, one of my mantras, you know, in my life and work is, you know, surround yourself with great people, and you can never underestimate the power of a great mentor, you know, or one idea or one, you know, positive word, you know, that comes from somebody that you respect.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about resilience, right? Because, you know, this podcast is built on the premise that to be successful, you need to be able to turn adversity into competitive advantage.
For sure.
Can you talk to us a little bit about resilience and how important it is for leaders across industries? Doesn't matter what, whether it's private equity, whether it's insurance, marketing, you know, creators and thought leaders, whatever it may be. Just talk to us a little bit about what resilience is and how important it is to develop.
Yeah. So I'm going to, because it's such the zeitgeist now, as we spoke about a little earlier, but I'm going to have to channel Marcus Aurelius, right? I mean, that's just, you got to go back a little ways for some timeless knowledge. But, you know, I think a lot of it is about framing. It's about framing and looking at all situations as opportunities for growth. I think that's critical, you know, in learning. And I think that creates a phenomenal base of resilience. I think moving through those obstacles and challenges and coming out the other end transformed gives you a body of work with which you can then rely upon and say, this is, not context specific. So it's as relevant to your athletic endeavors as it is to your professional endeavors, as it is to your personal relationships, and you can kind of move through and be like, I can do hard things. Here's a body of work that shows me that I can do hard things, and I'm going to rely on that and allow it to give me a base of confidence to tackle this next hard thing. So I think that's critical in terms of resilience. And I think the other one is trusting the process. Trusting the process and doing the little things every day that move the ball forward. And just saying, if I do these things and I trust the process, like things will work out. And I think those two things are huge. Framing and then, doing the little things and trusting the process.
Yeah, I love it. And I love how you tie in the benefit, which is confidence, right? So in tennis, I mean, if you've established a track record of being able to come back from being down two sets to love, then you know you can do it.
And
So
you can
the
do
more you see yourself, and you don't want to be in that situation
No.
every single day, every
No.
tournament, but you develop a level of belief in yourself and your ability to get through those difficult times. Alex, what does down 40 love mean to you?
Down 40 loved. That's well, I think it goes back to a great segue, Renee. Right? Right. That, I mean, I think that's exactly what it means, is looking at that and be like, great, I got him right where I want him. Like this is either going to be one of two things. Either I'm going to tap into it and we're going to have an epic comeback here, or I'm not. And I'm going to take this back to the lab and I'm going to use this experience to get better. Either way, I'm winning. I'm going to put my best effort in right here. But like, my son is a baseball player. And I've watched him transform, and and he went from being one of the worst batters on the team to the best, and he's got a phenomenal coach that's all about trust the process, and I think that it's just important to maintain that perspective, right? And say, hey, listen, the output of my performance, well, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. My performance on game day is an output of the work that I have put in prior to game day. So it's not a magic pill as far as a mental mindset on game day. That's been established already. Like that muscle has been built day in and day out. Does that make sense? So all
I
those
mean,
things on game day are performance outputs, in my opinion.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, the quality of your preparation determines the quality of your results.
Exactly.
And you look, there's nothing wrong with a pep talk on game day,
No.
but you wouldn't want to put all your chips on that,
No,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's right.
So, I know you work with transformational leaders. You help develop transformational leaders. And I think we can both agree that this ability to turn adversity or to turn setbacks into bounce backs and more goes into becoming a transformational leader. Can you build on that definition? Like, how do you describe, like, what exactly is a transformational leader?
So this is, I'm going to disclose up front, leadership is an area where I am learning. I am no expert at it yet. It is an area that I'd like to get better at in time. So I'll talk about my views on transformational leadership at this point in my journey. Okay. So I think it's about stepping into situations and being able to affect change in a way that is synergistic and abundance-minded, moving through conflict in an emotionally regulated way, and at the end of the day, having people walk away and say that human being made my life better in the way that they engage with me. Like maybe not at the time, but like for instance, you're transitioning someone out of a role that's not a fit for them, and you know it, and other people know it, and they don't see it. And in 5 years, the way that you do that is such that they come back and they say, thank you. Like, you were right. I didn't see that at the time, but like, I appreciated the way that you dealt with the situation, and maybe you help them land on their feet in another context that is more beneficial for them, or you're developing them in a certain way. It's sometimes it's working with people in achieving things that are beyond their field of vision, right? In ways that they appreciate in the long run. How's that?
No, I think you hit it out of the park. Your son would be proud with that answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's so interesting, you know, when you're in that leadership role. And I want to get to how you view the differences between leadership versus entrepreneurship,
yeah,
right? Because okay, you're coming yeah, from that you're coming from that entrepreneurship mindset and hustle and track record of success. But first, I mean, I think it's so important for leaders to be in it. You have to be in it for the client, or if you're in sports, you have to be in it for the athlete. And yeah, you can't be in it for the thank yous, because sometimes the thank yous don't come.
Yes.
You know, I mean, they may come a year later, 5 years later, 10 years later, or they might not show up at all. You can't be in it for that. You can't be in it for the validation.
Yeah.
You have to be in it for the impact. And I think that's really important for leaders, no matter what industry, no matter what field, to wrestle with that, because if you can't get your mind around that, then your ego's in the way at some point. And anytime your ego is in the way, it's going to affect your ability to be effective, you know, in maximizing the performance of those around you.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about the difference between being a leader versus being an entrepreneur.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back to the term, you know, learn it all, not know it all, right?
No.
Which requires this, you know, the subjugation of ego, because a lot of times you're like, I think I know, no, I don't know that, you know, so in EOS, there's two roles that really are the engines of entrepreneurial growth. The first one is the visionary, and the visionary is responsible for obviously vision, big relationships, creative problem solving, things of that nature, like, you know, sometimes big sales, recruiting, but they fall down on sometimes on the day-to-day execution. So they're casting vision, they're moving big pieces. You'll hear, you know, it commonly in like VC-backed enterprises where you have a founder and they can pull all kinds of pieces together, but, you know, one or two wheels are falling off the bus at the same time, right? Then you have a partner to them, and I really call this person a partner, and that's your integrator. And your integrator is someone that takes the vision from the visionary and then realizes that vision through the implementation harmonization of different components. And they're very, very good at that. And these two people typically are not in the same seats, and they're not the same person. So in entrepreneurship, you got to have kind of those two people, and they've got to be harmoniously integrated and working together. And through that, through the execution of that relationship, I think leadership comes, right? And that's like, how do you then galvanize the rest of the organization around that vision and get people aligned and excited and connecting with their values, driving the culture that is based on the values, and creating that team, right? That's leadership. Does that make sense?
No, it absolutely makes sense. And it's like finding the right doubles partners at scale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, finding those people and surrounding yourself with complementary talents and personalities and skill sets to, as you mentioned earlier, to execute at the highest level.
Right.
Which
right.
is the so biggest challenge.
So, you know, the entrepreneurial vision might be like, you know, we're going to create a team of this type of construction in this sport, in this niche, you know, and I can recruit some of the players that we know are need to be in key positions, and I can secure some of the, you know, the capital to like get the team going or whatever. But now you have the team, they're kind of standing there and they're like, okay, well, like now what? Now the leadership comes in. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What specific strategies would you recommend for overcoming adversity in the marketplace?
So, you know, again, I think it's, number one is for entrepreneurial enterprises, EOS is like, it's a tactical system that aligns everything and keeps the right folks on the bus, helps the wrong folks exit in an elegant way. But so using the right systems and processes, and then, you know, again, trusting the process and putting in the work every day that's the right work to be putting in, right? And I think those are – and keeping that mindset, keeping that We talked about that before, that resilience, that growth mindset. It's so cliched this year, this time, you know, this zeitgeist, this time in sort of history, but it's highly relevant. I think it's highly relevant. Yeah. The Ryan Holiday obstacles the way stuff, you know, it's just relevant.
What are some of your winning habits on a daily basis to keep your mindset highly optimized?
So I, you know, my mornings are sacred to me. So my mornings are sacred. The night before, map out the day. So that's in your head. And then, like, my mornings are sacred. So I do my readings. You know, some of those are spiritual in nature. Some of those are like related to growth. And then I do my exercise, right? That's a non-negotiable, right? And I, you know, I do some things related to my business that are tactical, but they have to be done every single day. And then after that, then I can kind of get in and start allocating my time and energy, which is a little bit different on different days. But the mornings are a specific regimen, every day.
So what I'm hearing is consistency, because as you know, repetition is the mother of skill,
Yes.
right? So you're really focused on getting in those reps and building up your mental, emotional, spiritual muscles, your business muscles every single day. And through your results, or through your daily practices rather, you've been able to create a specific set of results that's attractive, you know, not only to your clients, but to other entrepreneurs who are looking for inspiration. Alex, as we wrap things up today, what would you like your legacy to be?
That so I would like my leg I it, my DNA is as a coach, a mentor, and a teacher. That's where I get my stuff. You know,
Yeah.
so I'd love to have and you know, this the seeds of this have been planted, and there's, you know, some folks that are in the community that would agree with this in terms of direction where I'm headed. And that's just folks looking back like, that fella helped me transform my life in really positive ways. He was a positive, exactly how I talk about my wrestling coach. I would love to have the same thing said about me.
Yeah, you remind me of my high school tennis coach wrote a recommendation letter on my behalf, and the one line I remember is he said I was a coach's dream. And I think it ended there. That was the best feedback that I've ever gotten. I was 17, so it's been a while. I'm looking for that next pat on the back. You know, maybe that's why I keep grinding. But you know, I want to thank you for your time. I love your passion around coaching, teaching, and mentoring. I mean, we're both essentially in the same business in terms of maximizing potential, and having the biggest impact on people's lives that we possibly can have. Is there anything you want to leave for aspiring entrepreneurs or leaders out there that are continuously trying to elevate their game to the highest level?
You know, yeah, I just say parting words. Relentlessly seek out folks that are accretive to your life in various different ways. So mentors, friends, your social network, be relentless about that. Like Tim Ferriss says, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And I think there's a lot to that. And then along with that, you know, be honest to yourself and continue a journey towards pure authenticity.
I love it. Alex, you're great. I truly enjoyed this. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Thank you too, Renee.
Hey, before you go, thanks so much for listening. If you got value from this show, chances are your community will too. Please share this link with a friend or mention the podcast on social. That's a big time benefit for us, and hopefully in exchange for providing insight and big ideas to you. I also want to go the extra mile today and give you an opportunity to connect with me further by downloading a free copy of my new book, Down 40 Love: Private Lessons on Turning Adversity into Competitive Advantage. It's my personal manifesto on building resilience in every aspect of your life. Now go put today's episode into practice, because dominance is daily. Are you ready? Let's go.